I remember when God had to break off my relationship with someone because he was an unbeliever. It was very dramatic. It was very dramatic and it felt very human. But I knew that it was the hand of God working things out, because I had been very stubborn about it. Not stubborn, but I did not like pay any attention to it. I knew it was wrong, but it didn't like really dawn on my consciousness that what I was doing was wrong as a believer and that I shouldn't be doing it. So it felt like I wasn't giving my ear to God, and I wasn't even listening at all. I was just cruising and enjoying the phase. And God said, you know what, you are done. And for me, I think that it is the jealousy of God protecting me that protected me. Like at the time, God knew the kind of things I was going to go on to do, and the kind of life he had called me to live, and you know, the main things I'm going to be doing for the kingdom. And he knew that I couldn't afford to go down that path, and what he did was divinely interrupt and unashamedly, with his full chest, you know, scattered the relationship. And I'm so grateful for it. I look back now and I'm so grateful. So I welcome to Life Nuggets with Ini. This is a podcast that is dedicated to making sure that you become a better version of yourself part time. My name is Ini Olua and I am your host. So I'm going to be sharing I've already led with a story about myself, but I'm going to be sharing the things I think people that bring people to the point where, you know, they decide to date unbelievers, they decide to be with or marry or consider being with an unbeliever. I'm going to be sharing, you know, from my own personal experience, what are the things that led to it and how you can pull yourself out of it. Although, like, I did not pull myself out of it by choice. God had to divinely, you know, interrupt it. But yeah, I'm going to just be sharing what I know and hope that it blesses you. And, you know, if anybody is in that situation, I hope that you find strength to come out of it and, you know, change your situation by God's help. So for me, when it started, looking back, I noticed that my first problem was that I got into a conflict with people that were my covering. And when I say covering, I mean friends, people from church that could, you know, easily like talk me out of that situation or like rebuke me. I got into a conflict and I wasn't as invested in church. I wasn't as invested in going for church meetings or fellowshipping with the saints. So the first thing the devil did, and I know that he still does, is to first remove you from company where you can hear the voice of God, or remove you from companies that are your voice of reason, right? That are voices that can call you to order and check you, and that you can be accountable to. So you can first of all come in the form of conflict. You know, you just don't know, this fight just springs out from nowhere, and before you know it, you're fighting with these people and you are not talking to them anymore. And because now you are a lone, you know, wolf. You know how, I don't know if you've seen Teen Wolf, but I saw Teen Wolf last year and it was so exciting for me. Anyway, that's besides the point. But yeah, from the movie, I noticed that, and it's also a given fact, that wolves, you know, they thrive in packs. They thrive in packs. They always go back for one person to make sure that the pack is, you know, complete. So they are very, very big on packs, and that's how they protect themselves from predators. That's how they protect themselves from people who are looking to kill them and all of that. So you see your church family, your believer friends as you know, a pack. And when you are not with the pack, you are more susceptible to attack. And when I say attack in this sense, I mean that you're more susceptible to being misled or retaining temptations that would normally get discarded because these people are around you, they're able to see you and they're able to rebuke you and also help you make the right decision. So this goes for both like male and female. When the voice of reason in your life is taken away, you're more susceptible to making decisions that are not godly, and one of them is deciding to be with an unbeliever. So you must, you know, ensure that at all times you are aware of this particular trick of the devil to keep you away from people that can hold you up, either hold you up in advice, hold you up in reminding you of God's word, or hold you up in prayers, right? So these people are people that God has planted around you to ensure that you are constantly in God's will, constantly in God's plan. And one trick of the devil, like I said before, is to remove you from company. So you have to beware. Once you find that you are removed from any voice of reason, any form of godly voice of reason, right, you should be aware, because right then you are susceptible to the attack of the devil. So for me, that was what happened. So I was removed from my voice of reason. I was removed from my voice of, you know, from the company that God had put me in, because I was offended. And that led to me making that kind of decision to be with an unbeliever. And it, you know, went on for a while, like I said, before God came through for me. Glory, hallelujah. All right, so yeah, so that's the first thing that the devil does. And another thing that the devil does is to belittle the word of God in your mind. To belittle the word of God in your mind. Do you remember when, you know, the serpent came to Eve? The question he asked Eve was, did God really say? So the devil is after the word of God in your heart, not necessarily to get you to take the action first. So what the devil wants to do is that he wants to reduce the understanding of God's word in your heart, or the conviction, your conviction of God's word. The devil plans to reduce it so that when you now want to make the bad decision or the ungodly decision, it's not then a problem. So you just go ahead and make it, because anyway, what is supposed to ring an alarm in your heart is no longer there. So, but the Bible says explicitly, the Bible says explicitly, yeah, that's the word. I know how to pronounce it, it's stage fright. So the Bible states explicitly that you are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And you might not be able to hold on to this particular word if you believe that we all serve the same God, because we do not all serve the same God. If the person you're with does not believe that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that Jesus came to the earth to die for our sins, and he was buried, you know, he was killed, was buried, and he resurrected on the third day. You're not dating a believer. You're not dating somebody that is a Christian. You're not dating somebody that will serve the same God. So you might want to, first of all, strengthen your conviction in God's word. Look at what God says about being, about relationships, because the word of God is complete and it has everything we need for life and godliness. So if the word of God is if you're convinced of God's word in your heart and you're sure that this is what the word of God says, it will be more difficult for you to go against the word of God or do things that are contrary to the word of God. So you want to first convince yourself of God's word and be sure of your conviction. Now, would the devil still, you know, try to attack that conviction in your heart? Yes. You know, he will belittle the word of God in your heart and ask you, did God really say? Was that what the Bible was saying? But I'm here to announce to you that yes, that was what the Bible was saying. So the Bible was saying in, you know, explicit, no unclear terms, that you're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, because what fellowship hath light with darkness? There's absolutely no fellowship with light. There's no fellowship, you know, light does not have, you know, fellowship with darkness. And even if light is going to shine in darkness, light is supposed to overpower darkness, not darkness overpowering light. So when darkness begins to overpower light, you know that that is an anomaly, something that should not happen ordinarily. So you might want to check the conviction of God's word in your heart for you to be able to stand. So I know that the baby is fine, the guy is fine, he's everything. You know, this is an aside, like I jokingly you know, my friends, we made jokes that, you know, we just say, he's like, he's all the bad boys that just tick the right boxes. Hey, God, they're always fine, always, you know, as financially stable as we hope that our partners would be. And, you know, they're just romantic. They know the right words to say and everything. But just because it looks right does not mean that it is right. So just because the wrapping, the exterior of the box looks great does not mean that the content is great as well. And for us as believers, the content is as important as the container. So so it doesn't matter if they tick the right boxes, if they are your spec. So I have a journal where I write, like, or where I wrote at some point everything that I wanted in a man. And I was checking it again, and those things, they still stand, because for me it wasn't superficial. And I'm going to get there. I don't want to go ahead of myself, but I'm just saying that even though they tick all the boxes that you have written in your journal, and the babies, you know, everything, you know, how you like it and all that, you still do not have God's permission to go ahead and date or marry an unbeliever. God doesn't want it. It's against your faith. And so now to the priority list, or like the list of things that I wrote down that I wanted in a partner. The first on the list for me was somebody who is a believer. Like, it's, there are negotiables and non-negotiables when you're considering being with somebody. And the top of your list when it comes to non-negotiables should be somebody who is a believer. Like, it has to be top of your list. It's not like, that's the first thing. Oh, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. What church do you go to? Ask. You also need to ask questions, though, because people are just wild, and people are just crazy, in my opinion. Because I remember somebody, like, getting my contact one time, and he was texting me, and then he said that so I said I'm a believer and a minister of the gospel. And he said, oh, that's great, that because he's a believer and he's also a minister of the gospel. So I was like, ah, nice, right? So then I because I mean, that sparks curiosity. So I asked and said, so what church do you attend? So I said, what church do you attend, or what church do you minister in? You know, something like that. And then he goes, so the thing is that I don't really attend church. Oh my God. And he goes, the thing is, I don't really attend church, and, you know, I go to church once in a while, but I, you know, I just believe that, you know, we're just supposed to serve God. I was like, okay. I don't understand. So who are you ministering to? Your chairs, your bed, your spoon, your pots, your pans? I don't understand. So you might also need to, like, ask further questions to just be sure, because people say they are Christians, and then you ask them how they know that they are Christians, and they are just saying all sorts of things. So you don't want to get trapped. So you need to ask questions, like, be very, very clear. Let them be explicit. Let them tell you what they believe, so you can be the judge of whether they are Christians or not. So let it be, like, the top of your list. Let it be the top of your list, a believer or nothing. If they are not a believer, you're not considering it. You know, there are some things that we need not pray about, because when we start praying about certain things, we just know that we are walking in disobedience and masking it as spirituality, right? Because there's absolutely no reason for you to, you know, take time out and, you know, so you, some people even still fast. You will still add fasting on top instead of you to go and just eat your beans and bread. JJ, you will see, which is the iniquity, by the way. Beans and bread is travesty. Have I told you guys before? Although, so the thing with beans and bread is that, I digress. So the thing with beans and bread is that it's not like it's bad. I mean, at some point I used to eat beans, but I don't know what happened. My love for beans just, like, when I never loved it. No, that's not it. No, my love for beans. I never loved it, but I could tolerate it. Even now, if there's absolutely nothing else left to eat, I can eat beans, because, you know, I cook beans very well, if I do say so myself. I know that there are some of my friends that will listen to this and attest to that fact, that I cook beans well. Anyway, where was I? So yeah, that was a digression. So yeah. So some of you will even still fast, right? Instead of you to sit down and just go and eat your food, some of you will add fasting to it, and, you know, fast and ask God and spend time asking God if you should be with an unbeliever. I almost mentioned the name, but there's no point. So, and you still spend time asking God if you should be with an unbeliever. And then I feel like at that point, I don't even think God is supposed to like even answer any question. But he's a merciful God. He will still like, he will still talk to you through his word, talk to you through an audible voice, talk to you through a still small voice, talk to you through your voices of reason, talk to you through your company. You still go to church, your pastor will address it, and then he's just going to keep giving you pointers that no, this is not my will for you. But in the first place, there are certain things that we should not pray about, things that are explicitly said, explicitly, you know, explicitly recorded in scripture. We shouldn't be praying about them. So you shouldn't like spend your time praying about if God would have you be with an unbeliever. It's not right. Don't do that. And also, you don't want to be with somebody that your faith, you know, does not align. Because what happens? Because trust me, the Bible says that in this life we are going to have trials and tribulations, but Jesus says, you know, don't be afraid, I have overcome the world. Do not be dismayed, I have overcome the world, right? So it means that in this world there will actually be trials and tribulations, and you need somebody that can join their faith with yours and be able to stand in the gap for whatever situation comes your way. Because trust me, the in sickness and in health, all of those things, all of those wedding vows, they are things that, you know, are very, 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 very important. And you need somebody that their faith, their values aligns with yours. That's the only way you can have a successful marriage. So you're not going to into a relationship and thinking, the marriage will sort itself. It will not sort itself. Whatever the dating phase looks like is what the marriage phase is going to look like. So you can say, oh, he's very liberal, she's very liberal, she does not mind coming to church with me once in a while, he does not mind coming to church with me once in a while, you know. But that's not what God wants for you. God wants somebody with whom you'd be able to practice the principle of marriage. You know that marriage is a very, very, very big deal in the scripture, right? The Bible says that marriage, our marriage as believers, is supposed to mirror the union between Christ and the church. And that is very, very huge. And if you're not with somebody that understands who Christ is or who the church is, it will be practically impossible for you to now mirror the union between Christ and the church. That will be absolutely impossible to do. So you don't want to be with somebody that does not understand that is the head of the home and is supposed to love you like Christ loves the church. And you don't want to be with somebody that does not believe that they are the church and they are submitted to Christ, who is the head, and, you know, and they are supposed to love you and honor you as the head of the home. You don't want to be with somebody that does not understand the values that the Bible commands. So you need to be with somebody that your values absolutely, absolutely align. Because when push comes to shove, you would also need to, like, I mean, I feel like for women it's worse, because at the end of the day, you would need to align with whatever your husband says. And he also has, I mean, in an African society, he has the monopoly to actually make, I mean, maybe it shouldn't be like that. Couples are supposed to have a say, like both partners are supposed to have a say about, you know, the children and all that. But in the African society we find ourselves, men get to make decisions, you know, so decisions about the family and about the children. So you don't get a say. So your children get raised in the religion that your husband practices. And what happens, you know, then? How do you then start counterbalancing and start teaching them, oh, that's not the way, this is the way? So you want to even save yourself that stress, save yourself the problems, right? And for the dating phase, you're dating somebody that does not, you know, practice the values that the Bible commands, like I said earlier. So one of the biggest things, right, is abstinence and sexual purity, keeping the bed undefiled. You don't want to be with somebody that does not understand the concept of sexual purity, because I mean, we're dating each other, we love each other, our bodies didn't be which, and we're just so attracted to each other, so why can't we do it? Like, why can't we do this thing? And you're trying to explain, no, the Bible says that. At the point of explaining is already late, right? Because this is somebody that you are supposed to, from the get-go, decide together that this is what we're doing. We're honoring God with our bodies, and, you know, we are keeping ourselves for marriage. Not that, like, you now start having to convince them over the along the way. And you can't be delulu when they say that, when they say, oh, okay, I will abstain for your sake. You are being delusional. You are being delusional, because that promise, on days that it gets really, really, you know, down bad, they will not be able to keep or stand by that promise. So you want to be with somebody that it is in their absolute core, it is their first go-to, that, you know what, we're not going to dishonor God with our bodies, we're not going to make the bed defiled, we'll keep the bed undefiled until marriage. So there are just a lot of things that you need to consider when you're with an unbeliever who is not bound by God's word. You need to consider that the love of money is also a very, very important aspect, because for believers, there are certain things that you cannot do with money, there are certain things that you can do with money, there are certain things that you must do with money. And then you're with this person that the word of God does not make meaning to them, right? So they can go ahead and, you know, scam people for a living, do whatever it is for a living, just to make sure that they get money, right? And it is practically unfruitful to explain the concept of the scripture to somebody that does not believe in it. So you're not telling somebody you're supposed to earn an honest living, because the Bible says that. Meanwhile, this person does not even believe in the Bible in the first place. So they're like, what you're saying does not make any meaning to them, so it will not make sense. It's like trying to, no matter how much we adorn a dead person, they are still dead. They don't get to come alive, right? So the only thing that will make a dead person or somebody that has been declared dead to come alive is the breath of life that they have lost. And that's literally what Jesus Christ did for us at salvation. That's what God did for us at salvation. We received a new life and we came alive. The Bible said that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and now we're alive in Christ unto God. So anybody that is not in Christ is a dead man. And before a dead man can respond to anything, they have to first be awake. So the fact that you are responding to God's word is because you're already awake, right? The fact that you're responding to God's word is because you're awake. And if this other person is going to respond to God's word also, they need to be awake. So if they are not awake, if they are dead, they have absolutely no business responding to God's word. And you're just going to be delusional if you think that they are going to respond to God's word just because you are saying it. The Bible says that the things of the Spirit are foolishness to people who are natural. A spiritual man understands the things of the Spirit, but a natural man sees it as foolishness. So everything that you're saying is just going over their heads, right? Because they are going to see it as absolute foolishness. Absolute foolishness. So you want to be with somebody that your value align, that is bound by God's word, because it will keep you, it will save you, and it's going to save you a lot of stress, just going to save you a lot of wahala and trauma and problems. So please, if you are in that situation, don't worry, God's got you. There's probably a reason why you're listening to this particular episode. There's God's help always available. The first thing I'm going to recommend is that you open up to somebody about it, because if you are truly a believer, it will be, you know, it might be quite difficult for you to tell somebody that, oh, this is what is happening, this is what I'm going through, this is what I am doing. So the first step, you know, what the devil does is allow you to thrive in secrecy. Sin only thrives in secrecy. Once you open it, once you are bare, your restoration journey begins. So you want to open on to somebody about it, your friends, your pastor, your company, your tribe, whatever. So you want to open up to somebody about it, and you need to break off that relationship now, as in ASAP, now. And you know, when you listen to God's word or you listen to a podcast like this and it's really pricking your heart, the time to do it is now, because you know, it gets cold in your heart again and remember your love for them, and then you're holding your heart and then you're unable to do it. So do it as soon as it is, like strike the iron while it's hot, so that it gets formed, right? So do it like immediately, speak to someone about it, get counsel, and you can now, you know, start your journey to recovery and, you know, start your healing process or whatever, right? So, and if you have not done it yet, if you are not in that situation, you know, are you considering it, please don't run away. Do you get me? Run. This thing, I don't run. Please run. Remove your shoe like this, put it on your head and run. So that's about it on this episode. I hope it blessed you. Please share with somebody that you know needs it, and you know, like, comment. I covet your comments. Like, I need to know that it blessed you. I need to know what resonated with you. I need to know what stood out for you, what struck out for you. So please, if you're using Spotify, there's always like a comment box, so please put your comments in the box. I'll be waiting to read it and also share it. And when you're sharing on your social media too and you listen to it, please, you know, tell people what stood out for you and why they should listen. Personalize it, make your sharing personal. All right, so yeah, that's it on this episode. Thank you so much, guys, for always coming back to listen. And I really hope that, you know, as you listen, something changes for you, you get better. And which is my goal, right, is that you get better every day as a person as you listen to these episodes. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. Once again, my name is Niolua. This is Life Nuggets with Ini. Until I see you in the next episode, take care. Bye.